We're reading from Kabbalah for the Beginner, page 33, in the speech in celebration of the conclusion of the Zohar. We'll remind you that you can ask questions in the site www.kab.tv/eng. Relevant questions will be aired. Kabbalah for the Beginner, page 33. Bala Sulam gives an example about the people of Israel, the way they left the exile. Because the people of Israel is like an example, like an experiment. When we make an experiment in a laboratory, we take a rabbit, we take a person or someone, and we commit different experiences upon it. And we see the response and we try to understand what to do with it and how to correct it. And that's how they check medicine. That's how everything is done. So the people of Israel, with respect to the whole of humanity, is like that example. That this is how the whole of humanity will exit their ego. First, it will begin in a small group, as Baal HaSulam tells us. In Matan Torah, in the Aravut, and in Peace in the World, in his articles, that it's impossible to rise this egoistic mass to a state of the love of others. But this method was given to a small group of people, and a whole process, they go through a whole process, and after they will finish their process, the process in which we now exist in its final phase, that we truly need to realize it. We have the inner preparation inside of us after the ascent and the crisis we went through, and now we have to correct ourselves. When we have all the preparations from above and from below, for example, Malchut mixed in Bina, and Bina mixed in Malchut, and there's a connection between Malchut and Bina, and inside the creatures have points in the heart, which is Bina and Malchut. Inside the upper system, the intensity of Malchut is being revealed, that the Malchut can understand a person. And when there is such a connection between the lower and the upper, between us and the Creator, we can begin to correct ourselves. And in this state, this is the state of the people of Israel, and now the people of Israel, this program of creation is being implemented on it. And then by the people of Israel. And then this program has to serve the rest of the world, as Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, tells us. And now we are in a state in which we have received our corporal country. Again, we've returned to our corporal country, and now we have to rise to our spiritual country. Land, country, comes from the word Eretz. Eretz in Hebrew comes from the word Ratzon, meaning desire. We've received such conditions in which we are not under the dominion of someone else, but this can be realized, this can actually happen only if we will reach spiritual independence. Meaning there is the corporal land of Israel, there is the level of the spiritual land of Israel. And we have reached the land, the corporeal land of Israel, in order to be not be under the control, the dominion of no one else. But this can happen only if we will also achieve the spiritual land of Israel. This is the condition. And if we do not acquire spiritual land of Israel, then the corporal land of Israel also does not belong to us. During the ruin of the temple, we've lost the spiritual land of Israel. Land is from the word desire, ratzon in Hebrew. Eretz is land in Hebrew. Desire is ratzon in Hebrew. Israel is Yashar Kel, straight towards the Creator. We've lost it. And because of that, we've also lost replication of it in our world, the geographic replication of it, the corporeal land of Israel. as a corporeal nation in a corporeal land in our world and matter. If we truly want to rise to the spiritual desire, we are given in this world, in our matter, such an opportunity. A game. Like children now, try to reach spirituality from this state. You have everything, all the conditions needed. You have the opportunity. You were given independence here. And here you were given the wisdom of Kabbalah. And you want independence? This can happen only if you will acquire the spiritual land of Israel. If you don't want to merit, if you don't want to achieve it, it will also end. As in the past, the land of Israel, as it happened in the past, you will lose the land of Israel. Because there's no doubt about it, because there has to be a resemblance between the upper and the lower. I wanted to ask, we have many groups who are watching us. The person who's sitting, someone killed God. How should he relate to the corporeal land of Israel? Now, he's watching us as an example. That's why I said these few words in the introduction of my words. This should be seen as an example, that one person goes through in his spiritual path. How can you picture this? You have a human being, right? This is his entire entity, a corporal human being. He has a point in the heart. This point in the heart is called Israel. Straight forward towards the Creator. This Israel receives independence, meaning rejects the rest of his desires. Doesn't belong to them. Doesn't exist under their dominion. As if he has exited Egypt. Here's Egypt, here's Pharaoh. Let's say he exited. What can he do with this independence now? Receives a certain direction towards the Creator. The question is, does he implement this yearning, internal yearning, or doesn't he? And this is the state that happens to each and every one of us, and we see it on a big amount of people who serve as an example. Who are these people of Israel? It is one person who divided, one Adam that divided in the ruin of the temple by the ruin, as a result of the ruin, divided into individual people who are like nuts in a bag, in a sack, right? As Baal HaSulam tells us, which are held together by this sack, by this bag, but everyone is like a nut. He doesn't want to feel the other, he doesn't want to touch the other. Everyone will immediately scatter if you'll just open the sack. So that's the way we are, joined in this sack, by this sack, connected. By whom? By the external force. Right? What is this force? Our enemies, or hatred by alien forces. Okay, let's read. We're in page 33. And therefore, no person is excited from this redemption as it should have been after 2,000 years. And not only that the people who live in the exile are impressed from us and want to come here and enjoy this redemption, but part of the ones who were redeemed are already and already sit between us, anticipate anxiously to get rid of this redemption and to return to their original countries. We agree with him, right? Even though he wrote it 60 or 70 years ago, but since then, the state only became worse, I think. Then when he wrote these words, everyone were warm, he was yelled on, and those people who led this country. And today, there's no such thing. Everyone is proud that he runs away. Then it was shame to run away. But today the state changed towards the direction he is talking about, meaning we have not reached, meaning we were given an opportunity to correct ourselves, but we haven't reached this state, even though we've had all the opportunities, as if an independence, and we didn't depend upon anyone else. People came after the Holocaust, people who were really beaten abroad, overseas, and still they weren't able, they're unable to find the path of correction. And we need to see this in the world today also, because we have experienced it as this group. But now, as an example, but now the same happens to the whole world. Because no one, not a certain group, not a certain person, not the whole world, as much as they will suffer, the much they'll suffer, the much they'll receive these opportunities, they won't be able to find the method of correction on their own, only by dissemination, by our dissemination, the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is why Baal HaSulam wrote these explanations then. That without giving them this wisdom, the understanding of why does it happen and what the upper nature, the godly nature, wants from you, if a person will not hear about it from above, from the side, let's say, then he will never be able to find the right path on his own. We saw it in our nation during these years, from the moment we began to return to the people, to the land of Israel, and we received corporeal independence. But this corporeal independence doesn't help us at all. It doesn't work for our benefit at all. On the contrary, a person begins, or the country, or the nation, begin to be proud. Hence, even the Creator took the land from the control of the nations and gave it to us, or maybe in a private individual, or in an individual, or in the generality of the world, even freed us from our ego and told us, go and begin to correct yourself. We still haven't received the land, and we don't enjoy it. But in this giving, the Creator gave us the opportunity for redemption, meaning to purify, to sanctify, and to receive upon us the work of the Creator in Torah and commandments, Lishma. And then the temple will be built and we'll receive the land. And then we'll feel and sense the happiness of redemption. Under which condition? But as long as we haven't reached this, reached what? To work lishma, meaning bestow and giving. But because we haven't reached it yet, nothing has changed, and there's no difference between the manners today and the manners we had when the country was controlled by others, both in justice and economy and in the work of the Creator. And we have no more than an opportunity to redeem ourselves. meaning that all the rules, all the relationships we've had to determine here, as an example, for the whole world, and the love of others, in considering with others, and to build on this all our justice here in Israel, not on the Turkish or English mandate, to build our educational system not on the communistic and socialistic methods. We shouldn't have docked before America or France, I don't know, England, etc. But if we would have reached the understanding, the spiritual understanding of our destination, definitely that then we would have changed our entire society, would have created different relationships between us and between each and every member, the essence. And then we would have been able to build a different system, economical system, social system, everything that it includes, which would have resembled spirituality, the spiritual force. And then we would have, our society would have been completely different, and each and every one of us would have been different. And then the generation that would have grown here would have been different. The children were like the children that grew during the times of the temple, where every child received from the grown-ups an example how to be in bestow, how to be in love, how to not be. He couldn't understand how can he be different, how can he differ, how can he not be a giver, because he studied and received such examples from childhood. He would have grown into that state, would have never understand that there's a different state. As it is written that during the times of the temple, there was no small child from Dan to Beersheba that didn't know the laws of purity and impurity, meaning what is to bestow and what is to receive completely. Do you understand which kind of education was here, both in corporeality and in spirituality? And in the temple, meaning in the spiritual degree of the temple, not just the temple as it was in the recent years, in the before the ruin, where everything was corrupted, and everyone was a complete lie. But in the degree of the temple, everyone had a different, special relationship between themselves. If we would have listened to Kabbalists when we returned to Israel, Kabbalists such as Rav Kook or Baal HaSulam, we would have realized their advices about how to correct ourselves. We would have understood what is the land of Israel. We would have understood why we were thrown out of here and why we have returned. That it is written that only if we fit the land does not... we can keep the land. If we would have listened to this, we would have been able to build a different society. It turns out that this generation, that our generation is the Messiah generation. And therefore, we have attained the redemption of our desire. We were being able to return to this land, and also the book of Zohar was revealed to us, which is the beginning of the written. The land was filled with knowledge of the Creator, and everyone knew me from the small to the big. I wrote here the wisdom of Kabbalah, so we can call it the book of Zohar. The Zohar is the symbol of Kabbalah. So we have the revelation, but except from the fact that it is a revelation, we should also realize it, implement it, use it. Everyone are saying the book of Zohar, the holy Zohar, everyone buy the Zohar, everyone can place it in their homes as some kind of a remedy against different trouble that might occur, but it's not called using it. They call it using it, but they're not using it in order to correct themselves, so there's no Yet these two attainments have been only in the aspect of giving from the Creator, meaning both the land of Israel and the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah, the land of Israel and the Kabbalah. We were privileged. We received them only as giving from above. And not, we haven't received them from below. We didn't actually receive them. We didn't use them. But we have not received anything into our hands. Only that we're giving the opportunity to begin in His service, to study Torah and perform mitzvot for His sake. For then, we will attain a great success, as promised to the Messiah generation, which was not known to any of the generations before us. And then, we will attain the complete comprehension and the complete redemption. We will receive these two. What was there on the internet? You wanted to ask a question? There are many questions. First of all, Bono from France is asking whether in the future all the students of Israel will live in the corporal land of Israel according to their spiritual inclination. It is written that at the end of times the land of Israel will expand and will be the whole world. What does it mean? That the desire to reach adhesion with the Creator will cover the planet. Whether that's the meaning of it. How does it belong? How does it refer to the corporal land of Israel? I'll just give it as an example. As you do in a laboratory, when you take a certain people, nation, small group, actually, it's a small group from ancient Babylon, and place it under special conditions, and then want them to go through those things, and as a result, the world will also receive the opportunity to go through the same process. So that's the destination of the people of Israel. It's not a nation, it's only a group that was taken from the whole of humanity during the times of ancient Babylon, and now they go through this process. I don't want to enter into all the details of the process, because what has remained from that group that exited Babylon, where are these 10 tribes and how many people were left in Egypt? You know that the people who actually left Egypt were very few compared to the nation that grew there. They're saying that it was like a third, a quarter, 10%. There are different opinions and calculations in respect to that. But what we know is, I don't want to enter into this process and don't want to begin to explain why does it happen, why these things have happened during the experiment we're going through. But we need to understand that this is only a group that is an example that serves an example. But the whole world would not go through these stages, for those states. This group goes through four exiles and four redemptions. This group goes through different processes of building the temples in Mochin Chaya, in Mochin Neshama, and then the ruin of these temples. Goes through the breakage of the vessels, through many things. The whole world doesn't need to go through that. From within this process, as a result, the whole world will have an opportunity to correct itself directly, without going through such complex processes. So of course that there's no special need to come to the land of Israel in order to make or complete your spiritual correction. We also saw in the past, during the previous generations, Kabbalists who lived in the whole world, in Russia, in Poland, and even in the Near East, and there were huge Kabbalists and they didn't lack anything. Only there is a resemblance, there is a correlation between one's inclination towards corporeality and his spiritual desire. Meaning Bruno from Italy can continue living in France, and doesn't matter who is he, because the internal correction does not demand him to change anything. just like we have many friends in, I don't know, in South America or something. It doesn't matter. There's nothing to do with their corporal place. When we meet them in the Congress, do you feel that they're different? Their body is their body, and but the soul, they're yearning towards the Creator. They have the same point in heart, the same aspire towards the Creator, resembles the rest completely. There's no difference. If once we were all connected, our bodies are detached, our flesh is detached, but these points in the heart were connected, and we have to bring them to connection again. And the ones who yearn for correction do not feel a difference between one another. And thus, there's no need to change our corporeality. Baal HaSulam writes even more. He's writing that at the end of correction, everyone can remain in his original religion. That it has no influence, because religions is something humanity has invented as a psychological compensation in order to somehow answer their question of why do we live for, and is there something we receive in return for the suffering we go through, and no more than that. So religion is like a club where we exist, like a culture each and every nation has, and thus they might stay in their religion according to the words of Kabbalists, because religion will be perceived as habits, as customs that belong to a certain nation. These dance this way and the other ones dance this way. These ones like to eat sweet food and the other ones like to eat it spicy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't differ between human beings. It doesn't separate between them. But if the religions will receive their appropriate place, otherwise, when this religion is elevated to a degree that they don't deserve, to a spiritual degree, they begin to cast between people. They bring hatred between people, create this hatred between people. Yes. Let's write a program. Israel 2008. What has happened before? No one listened to Baal HaSulam. Okay, now we are in a worse state. We've suffered enough. We want to realize these words. Who should do it? Who should realize it? The secular people who draw far from the wisdom of Kabbalah, run from it because they think that it's a religion. The people who lead the country, that there's no one actually to speak with. The Orthodox Jews who were educated in such a way that they oppose Kabbalah. Who should now implement these words in order to actually realize this ascension towards this transcension to the land of Israel? This ascension to the spiritual land of Israel, yes? Yes, everyone who has a point in the heart. You're asking, your question is incorrect. Baal HaSulam was ultra-Orthodox. Did it prevent him from reaching the higher, most spiritual state? Someone can be even a prime minister. If a point in the heart will awaken him, who knows? And he will come to study here and to correct himself. Would it prevent him from correcting himself? We cannot turn to a certain part and not turn to another. We just need to tell about the wisdom of Kabbalah in the simplest way and the most approachable way to everyone else. And that's it. And we're not responsible on others. We cannot determine when the point in the heart will awaken a person. You see, in South America, there are plenty of people. In Africa, yes? Even in Europe. In North America, you have less. Let's hope that now it will rise. With respect to the amount of the people, of the population in the country. And also, we have people from Iran, like we've heard yesterday. There are people from everywhere, from Turkey, from everywhere. So you can't know. Now, we want to publish. We want to print a book in China, in Chinese. There is a publication that is willing to receive a book and to print it. so you just don't know what will happen. And I also don't want to take this into consideration. If we live in the days of the Messiah, as we've just prayed, and the wisdom of Kabbalah has to be revealed to everyone, as Bala Sulam writes in his article, The Horn of the Messiah, that it is this Horn of the Messiah, the revelation of Kabbalah to everyone. So we have to reveal it to all the nations. That's it. Who more? Who should we reveal less? It's not something I have to think about. It's not my calculation. It's not a calculation I have to perform. To the extent that every nation is close or far to this wisdom, or they hate it, they love it, I don't know. And I shouldn't know it. I'm not given this knowledge. No. If you ask me, maybe like when you invest money, you know, you're being asked, maybe you should invest more here, not in soil, buy gold instead of iron. I don't know, you know. We can't invest in a certain country more than another country, here yes and here no. Because we don't know, we truly don't know where it grow, it will succeed. Because we see, the only thing we see is that in Russia, the people who went through more suffering are closer to the perception. They sense it more. Because that's how it turns out. You see everyone in the whole world, the Russians awaken first. They have some premature preparation. In other countries, it is more difficult. Also, technically, it's difficult because we are being closed, censorized in some countries, etc. But in our dissemination, we shouldn't make any calculations. After the Kabbalists determined that we are found in the days of the Messiah, we have to publish and disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah to everyone, to spread it to everyone. So we have no choice. It has to reach everyone. But, as Baal HaSulam writes in the article, in the introduction to the book of Zohar, at the end of this introduction, he writes, first of all, the people of Israel have to redeem themselves, meaning to correct themselves spiritually. He's not talking about external repentance, but about internal repentance, meaning they have to resemble to the Creator. The people of Israel have to do it first and show an example by doing this, meaning to correct this program, to install it, if you can put it this way, in himself, and then it goes to others, reaches the rest of the people. So, as a result, we are especially focused on Israel more than everyone else, and this is why we're in Israel. Otherwise, it wouldn't have mattered where to be. Now we can disconnect from this place and move to, I don't know, Vancouver. To Honolulu. But we have to be in the land of Israel, because here, the correction has to start here. And this is why we have an amount of resources that we, at least 50% of our resources is used, or in our intensity is used, of our power is directed towards the land of Israel, because this was written also by Kabbalists. First of all, this correction has to occur in the land of Israel, the people of Israel. But the other 50% are spread equally between the whole world, as broader as possible, without making any calculations. If so, then according to your program, everything's okay. We are working according to this program. There's a goal. But he's writing as if it should have been realized 500 years ago. No, 500 years ago. No, Chaim Vital is crying 500 years ago why the Messiah did not come. And today we realize the program towards this direction, his direction. So what's wrong? It should have been realized immediately. It's correct that in the introduction of Reb Chaim Vital to the Etz Chaim of the Ari, he is crying for the fact, and he's saying that the Ari, who was Messiah Ben Yosef, and he began the correction, and from his days, the wisdom of Kabbalah as a method of correction received its proper correct form and is ready for usage, it's ready for implementation, and it has to begin being used, and he sees that no one is using this method, and he's already old, 40 years passed after he studied with the Ari. He wrote it when he was 70 years old, more or less. When he studied with the Ari, he was 28 years old, and he wrote this introduction somewhere near the age of 70. So he's sitting there and crying, why no one uses this huge wisdom that he wrote from the mouth of the Holy Ari. But we need to understand that just like Baal HaSulam wrote here, there is a time of giving and a time of receiving. And the difference between the two seems to us as 500 years or 20 years, 50 years. These aren't periods. The time, period of time, might seem to us as something big compared with our lives. But these are not, it's not a matter of time. It's like you come here and after a week you're asking me, no, where's spirituality? I'm sitting here for a week, I'm waiting for it. As you wait for a waiter to bring something to you in a coffee shop. You think it happens the same way? These things belong to a huge system. Every change has to go through this entire huge system. Every person has to change from within to some extent, and then the next action has to occur from millions, from billions of souls, which are interconnected. Of course, these things, that there's a time of giving and a time of receiving. And the time that might pass from one phase to the next might be 500 years according to Chaim Vital, what Chaim Vital spoke about then. But since then, we've had Kabbalists, and they have upgraded this method, the method of the Ari. And God forbid, it's not that Ari's method is not perfect, godliness, but they were able to fit this method to their generation. Baal HaSulam was the last one who, without Baal HaSulam's work on the method of the Ari, to make the method fit for us. He didn't correct the method itself. He only made the system appropriate to our souls. We wouldn't have been able to approach it without Baal HaSulam's work. And also, look what we do in our dissemination. We take Baal HaSulam's articles, that a person who comes here, you see how much he's unable to understand and read from these articles. He knows perfect Hebrew, he doesn't understand one word. Or interpret them completely the wrong way, or doesn't understand the connection between the words. So you have to also simplify, make a certain correlation between, and the coordination between the original text and the modern and the person. And these are texts that were written, 50 years ago. So we need to work on this also. And also these original texts, until they're being received and responded on, until people receive these articles, they respond, they react, it takes time. So we need to continue. And that's what we need to do. And just a bit more to, and that's how it will happen, along with the growth of the ego, and the corruptions grow, and the crisis is felt even more. And also from this perspective, a person will ask, why do I live for? What is the meaning of my life? Without the wisdom of Kabbalah, he won't be able to find a solution. But then he will find the wisdom of Kabbalah, and by the wisdom of Kabbalah, he will find the lighter forms. He'll attract it when he will ask for correction from the light, and then he will receive it. It's a process. Go ahead. We're in page 33, and now. And now we have clearly explained the reply of the Kabbalists to the problem of how it is possible to cleave unto him. As it is written, bond with his attributes, which is correct for two reasons. The first, because spiritual bonding is not by being close in space, but by resemblance of attributes, by equivalence of form. Since the soul was not separated from his essence, but for the desire to receive, which was imprinted in the creature by the Creator, thus, after the desire to receive is separated from her, she returned to herself and adhesion with his essence as before. Indeed, all this is perfect, but in actual practice, we are not yet at all satisfactorily in according with the teaching of bonding with its attributes, for it means for each one to separate the desire to receive inherent in the nature of his existence, to come to the desire to bestow from the desire to receive. And what we've explained, that he who sinks in the river needs to hold on tight to the rope, and though he does not study Torah and performs mitzvot for his sake, lishma, such that he does not return to his previous folly before him again, this is not considered as one who holds on tight to the rope. So the question is, where will he take the fuel, the strength, to exert himself just in order to bring contentment to his maker? Because a person is unable to move a finger without drawing some benefit for himself, like a machine that is unable to work without fuel. And if there is nothing in it for himself, but only contentment for his maker, to his maker, then there is no motivation to work. You see how difficult he's writing, and he also inserts phrases from the Torah which we don't understand at all. No one studied it. No one understands them. What does he say? There is a creator. And this creator demands that we will reach him, will equivalize with him. He threw a rope to us. Here is the creature. That's the creature. And this rope is called, is the degrees we have to go through until we'll reach the Creator, until we'll equivalize with the Creator. Here we're equal. Here the creature and the Creator are equal, have to be equal. How do we correct ourselves? How do we reach this state? By, if we yearn to reach him, then in return he bestows upon us the light that reforms. If I rise man, a deficiency, a want for adhesion, then I receive in return mud in return, which is the strength of correction, the force of correction, the power of correction. Now, my question is, everything you're telling me is wonderful, okay? But I'm immersed in my ego. I want to feel good. I don't care about your Torah. I don't care about your Creator. I don't care about the creature. I don't care about the system. I want to feel good. These are wonderful worlds. I can believe what you're saying. I can not believe it. It's not important. Once I feel bad, I throw this method aside. I think only about one thing. How to feel better. I'm hungry. I was beaten. God forbid. I'm sick. Something else. There are plenty of... Every person has plenty of reasons to be closed in himself and leave these nonsense. These are good, wonderful things, but it's philosophy. How can I actually reach this yearning? How can I actually want to be like the Creator? Where would I take a want, a deficiency for adhesion? I have a deficiency for everything in this world. So I have my ego, by which I am connected to different pleasures in this world. Food, sex, family, money, honor, control, knowledge, many things, different things. And I'm connected to the whole of humanity. If I'm rich, then I'm being honored. If I rule, people are frightened. If I'm known, people speak about me. If I have something good to eat, then I am able to fulfill myself. Sex, it's very important. Family, a person has things to enjoy from in life. So what should I do? How can I think about something which is supernatural, to bestow, to love the others, to resemble to the Creator? It means to not think about myself, to think about the others, to think about bestow. How can I do that? Then he gives us a solution. He tells us that it is a very big problem. It is very difficult to exit the ego, to grasp this end of the rope and to begin to transcend. So how can we? And the answer is that when one truly comprehends his exaltedness, then this bestowal, his bestowal to the Creator becomes as a reception, as it is written in Kiddushin, as concerns an important man, the woman gives him money, and this is considered for her as reception, and she is betrothed. She becomes his wife. If we have someone important, who is important, then this small person, if the big person, meaning the important person, if that person is important in his eyes, when he gives him, and this big person is willing to receive, this important person is willing to receive from him, then the small person receives, draws pleasure from that. Why? Because that's our nature. The Creator created us intentionally with this nature. It stems from the four aspects of direct light, but this is our nature. Let's accept it as a rule, as an axiom that exists in us. That's our nature. It's rooted in our nature. We enjoy, if I feel that someone is great, is big, then I honor him. If I give him something, then I feel satisfied. I have the fuel, I have the strength to do something. And if the opposite happens, if I feel that I am great, that I'm important, and then someone small in my eyes comes to me, then would I want to give him something? I'm not looking at him. I don't see him. He's not in my field of vision. I don't see him at all. Only if I receive this pleasure from giving him, when I tell him, take, and then I feel that I'm a righteous, that I'm big, that I begin to honor myself, and also everyone look at me and say how great he is, then it's worthwhile. But if there's no justification, if I cannot justify my actions, I don't see this small person, my ego doesn't see that person. And the same thing happens to us. With respect to whom? Who you think? With respect to the Creator. Who's small? With respect to us. This is why we don't see him. This is what Pharaoh is telling us. What did Pharaoh say? The Creator asked, who's the Creator that I shall listen to him? Who's he? Who should I take into consideration? Who are you talking about? What do you come to me and tell me something that someone who is important? Why do you stop thinking about him? Why this? Why that? Leave me alone. There are more important things, truly important things. Money, honor, control, health. What Creator? Why do you come here and confuse me? That's actually our state in our lives. That's how we are. How can we invert the state? How can we create a spiritual kli out of these life? How can we, only if we'll enlarge his importance in our eyes? And this is actually an action. It is something we can do, and it's in our hands at 100%. Why? Because a person depends upon the society, his environment. If I enter into a society where the Creator, I'll write the Creator here, but you should understand that that's only in order to understand. And that's a human being. If a human being enters a society, an environment, and the environment arranges such an attitude, creates such an attitude, by the group, or by the society, and in this society the Creator is huge and you're small, then you have fear, you have respect, you have importance, you have a completely different attitude, and you have fuel. He has fuel, he has the strength to bestow. Just like in our world, if someone important will come, I'll give something to him, I'll enjoy from it. I'll have the fuel, I'll have the strength, I'll have the desire, the inner urge to give to the Creator. In the beginning, egoistically, because it's worthwhile. He's big. It's great to be connected to him, to give him, you know. Who knows what will happen? He'll guard me for any case. It's worthwhile. In the beginning, it is pure egoistic. These are pure egoistic calculations. But this is already called Lo Lishma. This is where we begin from. This is the end of the rope. And this depends upon our society. And thus, no person can say that I didn't understand, I don't know, I didn't know, I haven't done anything. You're being brought to this group, to the society. But once you are in this society, you're being left. You were brought there and now you're left. Now you need to arrange the society so the society will bring the importance of the Creator so that you'll be able to bestow upon him, onto him, even egoistically. It's not important. This is what you begin from. And then when you begin to bestow upon him and to bestow to him and begin to build your society, then you'll be able to create a system of influence in the society. The society will begin to influence you. And then you'll begin to understand that this influence is a lot stronger, like greater than what you thought before. Then this huge force that is being revealed and is bestowed that is being revealed in the group has something special. Not in order to enjoy from it, to the slightest amount, to take a small bite. That's what I need this society for. But in order to be like him, in order to cleave unto him, in order to be like him, that's the greatest reward. So then, this person begins to transform from Lo Lishma to Lishma. And everything, all of this, can be done only by the society. This whole path can be made only by the help of my friends. If my friends speak about the importance, then there's no choice. You can't run away. A person will think that this is important. We see in the internet, there are people who speak about committing suicide. About what can be, there's nothing worse. The person enters there and they begin to speak how good it is. And look how these things are opposite from what happens in life. And then the person goes for it. He commits suicide. Because the society influences him in such a way that he's able to do it. There's nothing that the group cannot force us to do. So let's hope that we're in the right environment. We are in the right environment. Everyone should use this environment correctly. What does it mean correctly? A society. And the goal of our society is the greatness of the Creator. And we complete the lesson. These words. But before we complete the lesson, we have a few announcements. We invite you to stay with us also after the lesson and watch our morning show, Bokir Ol, a morning of light, which will open your morning with a lot of hope and light. Sunday, 7 p.m., we'll broadcast live the World Meeting of Friends on www.cub.tv/eng. It's a rare opportunity to see how the members of Nimbaruch around the world realize the advices of Kabbalists, the greatest Kabbalists. A Congress, North America, will be held between the 13th of May till the 1st of June in New York. All the details, the preparation and registration can be viewed in KabbalahGroup.info. Everyone are invited. This includes our lesson. Thank you and have a wonderful day or night.